Here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. And as we always do, let's take a couple moments together in silence. There's only one of us out there. And every miracle, every light that we open to in our mind is for all. When we are healed, we are not healed alone. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly and willingly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. So we are diving in to where we left off last week. For those of us with the Sparkle Edition, it's page 471. The first full paragraph, the sentence we're beginning with, is "The fear of death will go." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, chapter 19, paragraph number 86. "The fear of death will go" is the sentence. In FIP, it is chapter 19, subheading CI, paragraph number 9. "The fear of death will go." And last but not least, in the Circle of Atonement edition, it is page 626, paragraph number 10. So we have been reading in the subheading about the obstacles to peace. This has been the subheading on the attraction of death. We've been reading from there. And actually, interestingly, in the Circle of Atonement edition, the subheading now, where we're starting right now, there's a subheading called "The Infancy of Salvation," and you'll hear that term come up as we read. Here we go. "The fear of death will go as its appeal is yielded to love's real attraction. The end of sin, which nestles quietly in the safety of your relationship, protected by your union, ready to grow into a mighty force for God, is very near. The infancy of salvation is carefully guarded by love, preserved from every thought that would attack it, and quietly made ready to fulfill the mighty task for which it was given you. Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God Himself. It needs not your protection. It is yours. For it is deathless, and within it lies the end of death." Here's one of those references. So a couple weeks ago, after the Happy Dream Retreat, I shared with you all my powerful experience in somebody telling me, a number of different angels and saints that were with me, and that message was not just for me, it was for all of us, that we are not alone. And here is one of the references that we see in the Course to angels. "Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God Himself." This next sentence for me just strikes me so deeply. "It needs not your protection. It is yours." I know for myself, I'll just share that, there were so many times when I'd experience an insight or a miracle, and I'd be like, oh, I just want to protect this, you know, from the world, from the fear thoughts, from getting sucked back into the craziness of the world again. I want to protect it. And it's saying so clearly, it says black and white, it needs not your protection. It is yours. That awareness, that purpose is our protection. That truth that we are as God created us, that love is all there is, that is our protection. It doesn't need any protection from us. For it is deathless, and within it lies the end of death. So I'm going to actually pause there and just see if anything's coming up for anyone so far. Any other sentences in this paragraph stand out to you?
You know, it's funny. Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by Holy Spirit, protected by God himself. You know, with all the crazy political stuff that's going on right now, I got such a sense. I was watching, my daughter came over last night and we were watching something that was so anti-Trump. And I got such a sense of how that's all the same thing. You know, the separation there between the Republicans and the Democrats and all that, it's all the same thing. And it's, and there's, I just got such a sense of how everything is really fine, just the way it is. I don't know if I can really put it in words. It's just a feeling of it's just goodness. I don't know how else to put it. And really, for me, my purpose now is to just watch my thoughts, you know, just be the observer of the thoughts and veer away from the thoughts that are so crazy and so disturbing. And, you know, just really trust that all is well.
Yeah, I love that, Paula. It's so true. When you were talking, what came to me, Trump cannot change the truth. No Democrat can change the truth. No Republican can change the truth. No one, no person, nothing can change the truth. Only the truth is true. Now
it's
and
not,
forever. And the separation, go on.
The truth is not controversial.
Right.
It's just not controversial. It just shines and is.
And it's
being,
our choice to turn to that.
Exactly. Being in alignment with that is just the goal.
Right. The world is not going to stand up and say, hey, guess what? I'm not real. Everything's actually okay. You know, it's not going to do that. The separation is the separation is the separation. Its goal is to keep us mesmerized. That's the goal of the separation. And it has to be our choice to look with a different set of lenses, to be willing to look within to the Holy Spirit to show us that different way of seeing.
And
so
it's our newborn purpose, which is nursed by angels and cherished by the Holy Spirit and protected by God himself. So what's the problem?
Exactly. And it doesn't need our protection. It is ours. So when we can bring ourselves to that place of willingness to be shown the truth, that is our protection. That is where our safety lies. Our safety cannot come from anything outside of us, not anything.
It is the immutable truth.
Amen.
I wanted to say something.
Please.
Okay. I think to realize that there isn't any person, none of this is happening to a person. All of this is just happening. And if there is no person, that means there is no suffering, no anguish, no fear. It's just the play that's going on.
Yeah, it is just a play that's going on. And yet, you know, that is an awareness that comes with a lot of willingness to go beyond fear, because to others on the journey, hearing that, you know, there is no person, that can sound scary because we're addicted to this small sense of self. You know, we like being this sense of personal self. And yet what the Course is leading us to is that you're right. There is no person. We are all, that there is only one, and that this is just happening. And our awakening at the highest level, you know, we're already awake. We just haven't accepted that. There, some of us, let's say, a lot of us haven't accepted that yet, but that acceptance is, I feel like, you know, what this awakening is, the awakening that I see, the awakening that I'm willing to experience. So yeah, I resonate with what you share, Meg.
And on that
absolutely.
Thought
absolutely.
Of awakening,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is correct or not. I'll just say it, and if it's not correct, I can be humbled easy. But I say that for a reason. But in awakening, I'm coming to realize, I think, that, you know, we look at it as gifts in other people. Hey, you have the gift of hearing God, you know. I had a guy say if everybody could hear God, then they wouldn't have needed Moses. He had the gift to hear. And they followed. But what I'm beginning to see, I believe, is we're all in a full state of wholeness, of awareness, but some are, I don't know how to say it, a heightened state of awareness in different areas. So this person's awareness that they can heal people, no problem. But another person, their awareness isn't open in that direction that far. We're all 100%. We're just not aware we're 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And to appreciate, though, like Corinne, your ability to soften the heart and meditation and to lead people the way you do, we all have that gift, but you are aware of the gift, you know, of
mm-hmm.
which isn't a gift, it's your natural state. So in that area of subject, you're operating in your natural state. Does that make sense?
Boy, it sure does.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm looking this up right now. There's a part of the Course. It says, when the atonement has been completed, all talents will be shared by all the sons of God. So what you just said is that perfectly, that we're all at 100%, but we're not aware that it's 100%. And that talent or that gift, whatever, just like you named it in another, yes, it is in all of us. So I wanted to share that quote with you. When the atonement has been completed, all talents will be shared by all the sons of God.
It's helping me, and when I see somebody else sharing their gift of not feeling bad anymore, it's just I'm not aware of my ability in that, but I can certainly rest up against my brother now and trusting in their gifting of awareness in that area and go with them, you know, until I get there or whatever. Maybe I'll never get there right now, but whatever. It's not important.
Well, I think we're all in the process of getting there, you
yes.
know, and it's an ongoing process because I'm on this call right now and I'm connected with this Holy Spirit within all of us, right? So that
yes.
that makes that heightens my awareness of the truth. But when I get off this phone, when I go to work tomorrow, it might not be quite as easy.
That's why I have
to maintain that feeling that all is well and that all is as it should be. I mean, believe me.
I feel inspired just to share. If we can just drop in for a moment to this idea that we are there already. Paula, yes, we perceive this as a process. And yet, can we right now just drop into a willingness to own, to know that we are there already. We are complete
yeah.
and whole and share all the gifts of the entire sonship. That's our reality now. And if you can stay with that even for a moment, or if you can't, if you notice the little voice creep up, like, oh, no, I'm not there yet in this area or that area, if we notice that voice, then that becomes an opportunity to say, oh, hey, there's that ego voice again. Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you, because anytime it comes up is an opportunity to look at it. So just in this moment, I mean, if you just want to even close your eyes right now and just breathe into the idea that we are there already. We know truth. We know our Father. We are whole and we are complete. We're there already. And anything that seems to be a lack of awareness of that, again, is just our choice to listen to nothingness. It's just our choice to listen to nothing, just to distract ourselves from the truth that we are there already. So just taking a breath. I felt moved just to throw that out there, because that's really it. I feel like we've touched on this so many times before in this call that, and I feel like Deidre, you just brought this up recently, that again, all is, everything, we are there already. I'm going to stick with those words.
It's so funny that you just brought that up, Corinne, because just before you started saying that, I was going to say something, and I was like, oh, no, it's being said already. It's all good.
One mind.
Yes, exactly. It reminds me, there's a quote in Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, where she's talking about it's our light, not our darkness that frightens us. And it reminded me so much of what Greg just shared about being at 100%, but not having that awareness at the forefront, right? Being at 100% already, but just not being aware of it. And it's holding back the light that we are, the magnitude that we are, that is part of the illusion of suffering. If we just you know, let go, and much like we were talking at the beginning of the call, how before you started recording, where people were sharing about how, you know, you get to a certain point and you've just made a decision that something else is in charge, meaning the higher self, your inner teacher. And it's like the personality part gets out of the way and you're doing things because it simply needs to be expressed. The love needs to come out. It can't be held in anymore. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I resonate with that because it literally, with you know, my writing and my book, it literally, I literally could not keep it in. Could not.
Yeah, and it's not like so many times, like in my experience, it's not like, I think, oh, I'm going to write a book now, or I'm going to start doing videos, or I'm going to start doing, you know, angel sessions. It's like it needs to come out, and you're being directed. Your inner guide, your higher self, your inner teacher is showing you what to do, and you're simply following. You're simply answering the call. That's all that it is. Is that your
and how different is that?
Yeah.
I love that, Deidre. How different is that from ambition than from deciding, oh, I like you just said, oh, I want that. I want to write a book, or I want whatever it may be. I'm going to go for it. That's so different than that inspiration coming from within and needing to come out, like you said, following, you know, following our guidance, our leader, and just doing the tasks that we're given to do. It's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. I mean, that's why I'm in Clear Mind right now. That's
right.
That's exactly how it happened. Is I didn't plan it. I didn't In fact, I thought I was going to be doing something at a different school, and it's like this presented itself because I asked Spirit that prayer that's in if you're doing the daily lessons today, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you say, have me say, and whom? And, you know, as long as you're tapping into that part of you that knows, you will be carried literally to everything that you need. You will not miss your guidance. You cannot miss it.
So. That's really encouraging.
It is. It sure is. Oh, let's read the next paragraph because I definitely, we just have actually two more paragraphs before we finish this section. What danger can assail the holy innocent? What can attack the guiltless? What fear can enter and disturb the peace of sinlessness? What has been given you, even in its infancy, is in full communication with God and you. In its tiny hands it holds, in perfect safety, every miracle you will perform, held out to you. The miracle of life is ageless, born in time, but nourished in eternity. Behold this infant, to whom you gave a resting place by your forgiveness of each other, and see in it the will of God. Here is the babe of Bethlehem reborn. And everyone who gives him shelter will follow him, not to the cross, but to the resurrection and the life. You know, I'll share a concrete example. I have a family member right now who's been driving Corinne nuts. This person just has been wanting to, sometimes I get 5 phone calls a day. It's been a lot lately, and there's been part of me that has just wanted to get, you know, really like, leave me alone, like give me some space. And I've been very aware of this reaction come up, and I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I know if I say what Corinne is thinking, it's going to hurt their feelings because it would be the ego in me meeting the ego in them. It would not be the Christ in me or the Holy Spirit in me speaking at all. And so I read this last week because I was just preparing in case we got to this reading last week, and I reread it again tonight. And here I was like, oh, this is exactly it. Behold this infant to whom you gave a resting place by your forgiveness of each other and seeing it the will of God. Here is the babe of Bethlehem reborn. And everyone who gives him shelter will follow him not to the cross but to the resurrection and to the life. So do I want to damn myself and this other person by blasting them? Now, as I'm saying this, the same holds true that I've always said, that we have to be where we're at. If we feel like the only alternative, if we feel like the only option is to get mad and yell, we do that and we bring it to the Holy Spirit. We go through what we need to go through. A happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. But I've done this many, many, many times. I know where it goes. I'm willing at this point to do something different. So I'm not stuffing my feelings. That's super important. I'm feeling them. But instead of blasting this person, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm pissed. I want to say this, 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 and this to this other individual. Help. And in that asking, in that willingness, so this person called me again today for the second time, I think, and I didn't pick up the phone. And I got, like, angry again because whatever. And was like, all right, am I going to call back? If I call back now, I'm going to say something. My evening worked out that I physically could not call them back. When I went to call them back, Rob was on the phone. Then when Rob got off the phone, he immediately wanted to eat dinner. Then after we ate dinner, I had the call. Like, it's just been one thing after another where the answer, I was guided. My circumstances worked themselves out that I got the clear message I was to not call this person back. I knew it would be, you know, Corinne, quote unquote, speaking to, you know, the ego in this other person. So I'm taking my feelings to Holy Spirit because I want that forgiveness of each other. When I read that, that struck my heart. I want to release myself, and I want to release this other person. I want healing for both of us. I don't want to be right. I want to be happy. I want that healing for both of us, and the only way for me to do that is to, again, allow the Christ, this babe of Bethlehem, our newborn purpose, to grow within me, and that means that I'm taking what's happening to Holy Spirit instead of going down the path that I know is just the ego. And again, we have to be where we're at, so I just want to be clear that this does not mean stuffing your feelings, because I'm certainly not doing that, but I just felt moved to share that.
Corinne, I'm telling you, when you do this with the Holy Spirit, the outcome is always miraculous. It is. I'm blown away by it. I've experienced it so many times, and it just plain works. And you're absolutely right.
It does.
There's no stuffing it. You just keep turning it over.
Yep.
Just help, 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 help.
There's
got to
be another way. It's because whether I go left or right or forwards or backwards, whatever I try to do on this level is only going to result in somebody's pain.
Absolutely.
It's either going to be me who's upset or it's going to be them who's upset or both of us. If I express and say what was going through my mind, I'm going to end up feeling guilty afterwards. That's not going to feel good either. So
no.
We go vertical. We go up. We ask for help. We bring our feelings. We tell the Holy Spirit instead of what we're thinking. And I agree with you, Paula. I have no doubt that there's going to be a resolution in which everybody is happy.
You know, I always think about the cats.
Both of us learn truth.
When I was going to get these, Lucy and Ethel, when I was going to get those cats, I called this breeder and I was going to get these cats. And I set it all up. And he, like he said, you can't have them for a while. They're not even born yet. So, but I can't tell you how many times I wanted to pick that phone up and say, forget the cats. I don't want the cats. I could not do it. I could not. I literally could not do it. And those little creatures turned out to be the most delightful, wonderful. It's just been wonderful with them. And once again, the Holy Spirit just is in everything we do, and it's just our little bit of willingness to pay attention.
Yep. And it reminds me of just the teaching that we don't know. We don't know what anything is for.
And the key issue, hello.
Oh, Igor, hi.
It's Igor, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Igor!
Hello, everyone. Nice to
you.
I've been listening to you all. Thank you all. And the key issue here, as Song of Prayer says, is that it is only our own guilt we see in them. See, so they are basically those whom we hate. They are saviors, this Song of Prayer again says, and so many other places in the text, in the whole chorus, that they are our saviors because they show us our own guilt. You see, so forgiving them, it's not about them, because the only problem with forgiving people is that we think they do not deserve it, right? Because they have to be punished, right? But when we and this is the kind of earthly view of forgiveness, right? And Song of Prayer calls this type of, the ego's type of forgiveness to destroy. So, I will not forgive you. But when we get this idea that it is only our own guilt that we have projected on them, to perceive us as innocent victims and them as evil victimizers, then it's a whole different thing. Then they become saviors, not enemies. And so many beautiful quotes about it. If, for example, in chapter 29, section 3, it says, "You can overlook your brother's dreams. So perfectly can you forgive him his illusions. He becomes your savior from your dreams." Beautiful, right? So, it's forgiveness is crucial because it's all good that we are already in heaven and stuff like that. And I have been, you know, I told you I practiced this regression session and kind of deep meditations, and I was guided to this oneness, you know, to basically this higher awareness. I don't know how to call it, the state. But I saw it like it was full of clouds, and they were guiding me further, and I said, no, I cannot go there because I think I'm unworthy, you see. And so some little part of me could go there for very little time, but the guilt, I saw that those clouds is my guilt. My guilt I think I have, and so it won't let us, you see. And that's why forgiveness, genuine forgiveness practice is crucial, because we overlooking, you know, dispelling this guilt again and again and again, we remove those clouds, and then it will become suddenly so natural that we will go there and awaken. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. That was so helpful. And you reminded me of Lesson 78, Let Miracles Replace All Grievances. There's a line in that lesson that popped into my head as you were sharing. Let me behold my Savior in this one you have appointed as the one for me to ask to lead me to the holy light in which he stands that I may join with him. So that seeming other seems to drive us nuts or whatever it is. They've been appointed as the one for me to ask, for us to ask, to lead us to the holy light in which he stands, that we may join with them. I love that.
I just
thank you, Igor. That was so helpful.
Thank you to
thank
Igor
you
for making that point. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So
thank
helpful.
You.
Yeah.
Because I saw how much I hate myself. I saw how much I hate I cannot stand it. I was like screaming, you know. I saw the whole my whole foot, how to call it, till my belt. I am buried in ground, kind of like, you know, kind of like this, and I stand and I scream and I want to just kill myself, you know. That's how much we hate ourselves. And we don't want to, of course. That's why the ego says, oh, yeah, just project all this guilt on them and you will be fine. And we do, but we're not fine. It's only, you know, relocating the guilt, you know, relocating the turd in the bedroom doesn't fix the smell, you know?
No, it does not. That turd analogy gets us every time. Oh, very good.
One thing that it brought up to me was when we were speaking to Corinne, was saying that you allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it. And it's that allowing that makes such a big difference. And it helps us see that we do have some spiritual freedom when we allow that. Instead
right,
of
right.
just intend it, or we go beyond the willing, we give the willingness, but we allow it to work.
Yes, yes. I love that you highlighted that word. That's so true. Allow, 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 allow.
And you know, I read a thing the other day that was talking about that when we do forgive, and that and there is somebody else that just drives us batty or whatever, that we realize that we're learning how to see the illusions and not to be deceived by the illusions that we're dreaming this together. The person that's bugging me as well as myself, that it's we're dreaming this together.
Right.
It's not a separation in the dream.
Right.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And the what I see is the thing is we have to wake up from the dream.
And by doing it together, we do it together. We wake up together, too.
The only way it can be done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
100%. There's no choice of superheroes on their own.
Very true, Greg. No superheroes on their own. We do it together.
But actually...
I love that.
But actually, different people can get different glimpses. I don't want to say people, but it could happen that different glimpses happen at different times. Though we're all one, as being an individual, you can glimpse true reality and you can slip back into being an individual again, which is what happened to me.
Right, right.
I had a glimpse of there not being a person, and when that happened to me, I could see that none of this was that none of it even mattered. It was like it was all far away from me. But the glimpse didn't last for a long time, and I slipped back into being an individual.
And those glimpses are those experiential, those experiences that we have that build our trust. You know, they're real experiences that we can place our trust in, and that's where the Course isn't asking us to just trust blindly at all. It's asking us to trust, you know, to use the experience, and the trust comes out of the miracles that we experience. So we all benefited. I know I benefited, Meg, from you sharing your story. It helped my level of trust, so I appreciate that very much. Let's read the next paragraph. It's the last paragraph in this section, and you're going to recognize the prayer at the end of it because we say it often. When anything seems to you to be a source of fear, when any situation strikes you with terror and makes your body tremble and the cold sweat of fear comes over it, remember it is always for one reason. The ego has perceived it as a symbol of fear, a sign of sin and death. Remember, then, that neither sign nor symbol should be confused with source, for they must stand for something other than themselves. Their meaning cannot lie in them, but must be sought in what they represent. And they may thus mean everything or nothing, according to the truth or falsity of the idea which they reflect. Confronted with such seeming uncertainty of meaning, judge it not. Remember the holy presence of the one given to you to be the source of judgment. Give it to him to judge for you and say, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming. Ah, oh, goosebumps. I love this prayer. Here it's so clearly prompting us that with not knowing anything, how can we possibly judge? It's saying, judge it not. Instead, let the Holy Spirit in us do the judging for us. So we can't judge. And I don't mean that in a, like, you can't do this. Like, we actually are not capable of judgment. So instead, the Course gives us this beautiful prayer that we've used so many times on this call. This, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. What stands out to you? What's coming up?
I think we all have that person that you have in your life designated full throttle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And for me personally, this prayer, I've never seen this, but it's so perfect. It's just so beautiful. It's like, we've said it a million times, you know, giving it over to the Holy Spirit. And that's my thing, working around the people I work around in construction and just constantly 5,000 times a day giving it over to the Holy Spirit. I just feel like I'm not going to get anything done because I'm just giving everything. But you know what? And then I start seeing the reflection of myself in them constantly. It's just what Igor was sharing. They become my savior. I see myself going, you know, I've seen that in myself before. And I've been angry for the same reason that person's now being angry for, you know, kind of stepping into their shoes. And that's what I've learned about forgiveness is I asked Craig at the Happy Dream Retreat. This bothered me so much. Felt like a little kid that needed to talk about a secret. And I asked Craig if he would just privately talk to me about something. And we went out on the porch in the front of that house there, Kareem. And I said, I've been forgiving people, but nothing's happening. I mean, I just keep, I forgive you. And we talked about it for a while. And after the Happy Dream Retreat, what just opened up for me was what Igor shared, taking accountability, that I laid that out there somehow. And just being accountable for it without saying a word, it takes care of itself automatically somehow. It does. And the other person, it's so miraculous watching them right in front of you change completely the way they were even 30 seconds ago. Time is irrelevant. And they just start becoming this different person right in front of you. And you co-created that by giving it to the Holy Spirit and then taking accountability with the Holy Spirit of why that's happening. And you've changed hell to heaven. You've helped change hell to heaven. Bring heaven to earth. Bring heaven to hell.
Oh, my God. Hey. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Lishava. Hi.
Hey, what's your name who just finished speaking? Who was that was just talking?
That's Greg. Greg just went back on mute. That's Greg.
Oh, hey, Greg. That was, oh, my God, that's just struck a chord in me because it's so true. I recently had an experience where, so I was having a very heated conversation, well, passionate, rather, with a guy that we used to date, and then we stopped, and then now he's back in my life just as friends, and we just have these constant debates, and I'm generally like, you know, you're too harsh and you need to see it this way and you need to stop saying things to hurt my feelings and just kind of you guilt. And I try really hard to see the, you know, the higher way. But generally we just leave the conversation. We generally argue until when we have these kind of discussions, we argue until we exhaust each other, or really until I'm exhausted, and then we just never really pick it back up until the next one. So this particular time, we were not really arguing, but we were talking about, you know, politics and education and race and just all sorts of things, and I felt myself that build up in me, like, you're wrong and you need to see it this way. And I prayed. I said, God, help me. Help me. And I just started taking, you know, really deep breaths. And I just kept saying, God, help me. Just help me, help me, help me, help me. I didn't even know what I wanted him to help me with. I just said, you just got to help me through this because I'm inside, like, my boiling. And no, like, a couple of minutes after I was just saying, help me, it was like the conversation started to shift. And his energy became more softer towards me. Mine's more naturally softer towards him. Like, I didn't have to force it. Like, I'm going to try and be nice to him right now. And it was just astonishing. Like, I was just like, wow. And I kept saying, and at first I kept saying, oh, finally he's getting, something in me wanted to say, oh, he's getting the point. But really it was, I had shifted. I had made a concerted effort in that moment to release my judgment. One, to call in Holy Spirit, like, look, you got to do this for me because I'm not in it. And it was beautiful. And it's been going on 2 years now that we've been in and out of each other's lives. And when I tell you, this is the very first time we ended a conversation where it was very heavy debate and heavy topics in a way that was full of love and peace and connectedness. And I was just like, you know, we know the stuff that we're learning about in the course works, but when you see it, it still just, for me, it still blows my mind. And I'm like, and it reminds, on one end, it just shows us really
Amen.
The power of love and that forgiveness. And you don't even have to say it out loud. I don't even have, like, just thinking it to speak to your spirit. Just thinking it. I was kind of mad at myself, like, why have you been doing this all along? But okay. But it was it was amazing. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So.
Oh, Alicia, Ma, that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. I love just what you and Greg shared, what everybody shared in the call tonight, again, just about that this is an inward job. Greg, when you were sharing, when Greg was sharing, you reminded me of that. When you brought up the word accountability, you reminded me of the Course quote. I love it so much. I feel like I say it all the time. The secret of salvation is but this. You are doing this unto yourself. And we forget that constantly. But that's that accountability piece for me that's made such a big difference for me and has put me back in the seat of feeling like I can step into my magnitude, that if I'm the one calling this forth, I'm the one that has a choice. I'm not a passive victim of the world that I see in any way, even when it seems like somebody is calling me incessantly to drive me nuts. They are there as an opportunity for me to open up to the fact that they are my Savior. And I love, Alicia, that you yet shared another story of doing this work within and having that relationship, that situation that you're in, shift before your eyes. That is awesome. That's what this is about. I mean, this is about waking up to truth. It's not about the form. It's about the remembrance of the truth that we seemingly forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But that is
so true. Yeah, so true, so true. And also, this prayer in this paragraph reminds me so many lessons in the workbook when this prayer begins, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Yeah. So asking the Holy Spirit, judging it for me, because my judgment of it, I don't like it. I feel angry, upset from it. Right. So I just don't want it anymore. So please. And lesson 21, for example, I am determined to see things differently. Lesson 28, above all else, I want to see things differently. And especially my favorite lesson, in this sense, lesson 34, I could see peace instead of this. You know, this is just my favorite way. I imagine Jesus as being as a troll, you know. He comes to you when you are in the middle of a turmoil, you know. When you watch the news and you are, blah, and he shows up and says, you know, you could see peace instead of this. Yeah? this sounds like trolling, like good quality trolling, you know, that doesn't make you go calm, that makes you even more angry. Like, what? You say I could see peace instead of this? So yeah, but he has he's not trolling, of course. He has something to back up his words. And yeah, beautifully, Alicia, what you shared, and Corinne, you do beautifully, because my own judgment, I don't like it. Yeah, because I judge it like this and I feel terrible from it, so I don't want it anymore. Please show me your view on this, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Igor. That was so helpful.
Yeah.
So we're at the top of the hour already, and I'm just filled with gratitude for all of your shares and insights, and I'm inspired. I love you all. Thank you so much for showing up, and we'll be back next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thank you so much.
Love you guys.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye. Love you all.
Bye.